My name's Jono Bacon, and I use Skype.
My name's Stuart Langridge, and I use an open source alternative to Skype. Nah, I don't really. I use Skype.
And this is...
Shot of Jack!
Anyone who isn't currently swallowed up by the Hannah Montana sensation will probably remember the dim, distant days of telephony. Expensive calls, shitty sound quality, and limited providers were all the norm. The internet changed all of this with Voice over IP, a technology allowing the technically savvy to route voice calls anywhere in the world for the price of a tenth of a little teabag. The emphasis really was on the tech savvy though, with typical VoIP systems requiring frustrating port forwarding, bizarre network protocols, complicated codec conundrums, and more. Then, just as the beardy VoIP nerds were finding their mojo, Skype came along. Written by Estonia-based developers Arti Heinler, Priet Kasesalu, and Jan Tallinn, also founders of the dodgy music-sharing site Kazaa, Skype shot to success with its numpty-friendly setup and astonishing call quality. It developed a firm following of fans and was quickly bought by eBay for $2.6 billion. That's a whole $1 billion more than it was actually worth, and it has since become the largest provider of international phone calls with an estimated 33 billion international minutes in 2008. That was up 40% from 2007. It all begs the question, though, of whether there is anyone left in the VoIP race. While admittedly closed source and providing natural tension for the open source community, can we really come up with something that realistically competes with a remarkable Skype experience?
To be honest with you, thus far, there's been no one who competes with the remarkable Skype experience, either open source or closed source. And you can see why eBay paid $2.5 billion for them. You know, it's genuinely made voice over IP available to people in a way that all the previous attempts have just utterly, utterly failed to do.
Well, absolutely. And the thing is, when you search for Skype, like in researching this show, I was doing a search for Skype on Google News, and I found all of these wonderful success stories of, you know, soldiers talking with their families over Skype, and even people sitting there and watching TV together over Skype so they could feel connected. And I mean, my wife and I, when we were apart, when I was living in England and she was in the US, you know, we could talk a lot more on Skype because, of course, the calls are free as well. And even Shot of Jack, I mean, we couldn't do this show really if it wasn't for Skype. I mean, we could use Voice over IP to do it, but the fact that Skype is just essentially plug and play means that things like Shot of Jack can happen as well. So it really has, in my mind, just opened up a world of communication for people. And part in talking about whether Skype's essentially won the war, the fact that SIP hasn't been able to do this, in my mind, means that in many ways they have won the war.
That's exactly the thing. I mean, if you can get a SIP connection up, it is most of the time just as good as Skype. The thing that Skype did was not do better voice over IP. It's that they fixed the user experience of it. They made it so it's zero configuration and then it works. I mean, all the things that people talk about as being great benefits of Skype, that soldiers can talk back to their families and so on, they're not benefits of Skype. They're benefits of the concept of voice over IP. But Skype got, for ordinary home desktop users, the only working implementation of voice over IP. I mean, if you're in a big company, then yes, it's worthwhile you setting up SIP as the thing which puts voice to phones on the desks and so on. You can go out and you can buy decent Cisco gear which handles all that voice over IP stuff, and you've got professional network technicians who are prepared to set it all up and everything. And then, yeah, then it's just as good, and you're not paying monopoly rents to Skype for it because it's an open documented protocol, which is lovely. But you just don't have that. If you're trying to set up SIP at home, then you've got to think about loads of different providers and what your Stun server is, and how to turn off echoing, and which codec to use. And it's just such a pain in the hole. It really is. Anyway,
it is, as you say, a pain in the hole. I mean, I remember trying to configure, SIP years back when went out and bought a phone for about £300 because it was just ridiculously expensive, and spent a week trying to get it working. And it was wobbly. It didn't really work very well. I had to punce around with my firewall, all these kinds of nightmare issues. And Skype, it just literally works. And that's what I think has been its success story. Now, the question is, can an open source alternative, can it compete and can it beat it? And, you know, we've already talked about the protocol issues in terms of SIP. What I don't know today is really where things stand, because I've essentially lost interest in anything that isn't Skype when it comes to voice over IP, because Skype just works for me. Are you aware of whether recent protocols can kind of talk over firewalls and resolve many of the issues that Skype has solved?
As I understand it, the situation has improved quite a bit in recent years. Essentially, if you're thinking about voice over IP that's available trivially to people on the GNOME desktop, because GNOME's what I know about, you've got Ikiga and Empathy.
Yeah.
And the Ikiga people have certainly made strides. Part of what they're doing is trying to strike a reasonable balance in between being a generic SIP client and being a very easy to use, no configuration SIP client. So it's set up so it automatically talks to Ikiga.net unless you explicitly set it up otherwise. Part of the reason that Skype gets to be zero configuration is because they basically hard code Skype.com into it as your server. And if you're a generic SIP client, then you can't do that, because people want the freedom to go and choose the SIP provider that they want rather than the one that's baked into the application. So to some extent, some of that configurability is based on that. But you can imagine SIPgate, say, as a SIP provider, releasing their own version of Ikiga, which just has SIPgate hardwired into it. And the Epiphany people with, I think it's LibJingle it's called, is the underlying voice over Jabber thing. I don't totally understand that.
Well, one thing that really excites me is Empathy. I mean, you know, in the build-up to the Karmic release, you know, we were doing a lot of testing with Empathy, because we ship Empathy, which is, for those of you who aren't aware of it, which is an IM client, and it's got support for audio and video calls and screen sharing and other good stuff in there. And, you know, there were some mixed experiences. Some people just couldn't get it working. I couldn't get it working for a while. But then we, you know, Ken Van Dyne was fixing all these bugs and all the rest of it. And when it works, it's just fantastic. The experience is really, really good. And I didn't have to poke around with my firewall at all. So for me, like, Empathy is really, obviously Empathy is the front end to the telepathy back end, but it's showing some real promise there. And in the interests of not alienating our free software followers, I mean, I think you and I would both agree the fact that if something can basically provide a similar quality to Skype without any of this configuration overhead, we'd switch to it immediately.
Yes.
I mean, there's nothing that is implicitly keeping us with Skype.
And to be clear about this, Skype is by no means perfect. I mean, I have a dark theme desktop, for example, and all the Skype menus are dark background and black text because it doesn't pay any attention to the theme setting. So, you know, hooray, thanks for that, Skype. Good effort.
Yeah.
And up until very, very, very recently, it had problems talking to Pulse Audio properly. In recent releases of both Ubuntu and Skype, I've basically had no problem and it works perfectly, which is, you know, marvellous, yeah, which is great. And you can see why Skype's got this dominant place in the market, because it has that just works ability. This, you know, this is why eBay paid $2.5 billion for it.
And what's exciting is the fact that Skype announced recently that they're going to be encouraging open source communities to work on the user interface for Skype. They're going to be having that open sourced. So maybe we're going to start seeing Skype support built into Empathy, as an example, and into Conversation on KDE as another such example. So the UI, the horrible UI turd that is currently the Skype user interface with all of the, you know, for example, with dark themes, hopefully that should get a lot better. It doesn't get away from the core aspect of the, you know, the protocol is going to be closed source. So I don't know. I mean, I really don't know whether the war is won, essentially.
Well, I mean, part of the interesting thing there is the fact that the Skype client is closed source is obviously bad from a moral, ethical point of view. But there are also things like, if your screensaver starts to kick in, then occasionally Skype will cut off the audio until the screensaver kicks back on again. And what it should do is inhibit the screensaver. Now, that's about a 4-line patch to the code.
Yes.
But no one can make that 4-line patch because they haven't got the source. You know, the basic advantage of open source, ignoring the ethical issues for the moment, is just that you can improve it yourself if you want to. And that's exactly the sort of thing that would have been patched. But all you can do at the moment is send a message to the Skype development team and then hope they'll listen to you.
Yeah.
And that's the sort of thing I'd love to see fixed. I mean, yes, the underlying protocol will be closed source in the same way the underlying Dropbox protocol is closed source, for example. But the front end, the bit that people actually see and work with and experience, can be can fit in better with your desktop and so on. And that's a really good thing.
So, has Skype won the war? We don't really know. We've only started the conversation. We want to look to the Shot of Jack community to weigh in with your thoughts. The place you can do that is to go to shotofjack.org, where you heard this shot, and join the conversation right there.
You can also leave us messages on Twitter. If you tag them with hashtag Shot of Jack on Twitter or Identica, then we'll see them.
And let's not forget, if you want to email the two of us directly, you can email us at talktous@shotofjack.org.